on Daf Tesamon Beis. And we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the top. Vezu Shav, Vezu Sheker. What's a Shavuot Shav, what's a Shavuot Sheker? Now, Shavuot Shav, the first opinion I believe is the, I didn't look it up, but the first opinion I believe is the opinion of the Bavli. The second one, if I recall correctly, is unique to the Yerushalmi. Ezu Shavuot, Ezu Shavuot Sheker, Shavuot Shav, B'shenish Ba'lishanos, Esayu Adol Adam. Shavuot Shav is when you take an oath to change something which everybody knows. So if I took an oath that this table was a chair, that'd be a Shavuot Shav. Okay? Shavuot Sheker is B'shenish Ba'lmachliv. Shavuot Sheker is where I lie about something. In other words, I don't change something. I don't say a chair is a table, but I say yesterday I went to the butcher store yesterday and take an oath to that effect, whereas it turns out that I was lying and yesterday I did not go to the butcher store. Okay, so denying or taking an oath about some reality which everybody knows to be contrary, but rather I'm lying about something, where my whereabouts, my activities, things like that. Okay?
So it's one on an object and another on yourself?
It's more or less like that, yeah. The Shanos is a diadu as an object. The other thing is the Sheker was more on the activity which you're doing. I think that's the difference. It could be proved wrong, but I think that that's the case. Rabbi Yaakov Brach B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Yodu l'shtayim zeh shavuot sheker. It's an interesting definition. If only two people know, let's say what occurred, then that's a shavuot sheker. L'shlosha, once three people know what occurred, zeh shavuot shav is shavuot shav, because then it becomes public knowledge. So if I knew did something and people know about it, or there's an object which people know about, the cutoff line would be between 2 and 3. 2 is still not considered to be two public knowledge. 3 is considered to be public knowledge. Well, okay, it's like Tuma. We have Rishus HaRabim vis-a-vis Tuma is also 3, right? The general principle is 2 is company, 3 is a crowd. That's the principle which underlies the Salach as well. Okay? What do you mean? Oh, you mean is there a... Sure. According to this version, no. The only difference will be how many people know. Okay.
So if two people know, then it's a shav.
Mm-hmm.
If three people know, then it's a sheker.
Right. That's correct. Now,
why, if three people know, in other words, it's common knowledge, why would you want to swear that something happened when it really didn't happen, or vice versa?
You're an idiot. Obviously, anybody takes a Shavuot Sheker or a Shavuot Shav, it's an idiot, right? It's a Rosh Hashanah.
Well,
a
Shav, only two people know. A Sheker, it's your
Yodua
already.
Everybody's lying in any event.
Yeah.
So, we're not dealing with a Tzaddik.
No, it's a Medak, is it?
What is the opposite?
Two is Sheker, three is Shav.
Oh, yeah. Did I say the opposite?
That's what I said.
What did you say?
No,
I'm sorry.
No, so it's okay.
Yeah, Sheker is 2 and Shav is 3. Once it becomes public knowledge, Sheker becomes Shav. I'm sorry if I misunderstood. I apologize. Okay, so does that relieve your question?
No. Just turns it around.
It just turns around the names, right? Okay. So, Rabbi Hillel B'Shem Lev said, Apsil Yodua, even it's known, Lishnain, to two people. Vechel b'self olam makiro, another person in Siberia knows about the matter. Shavuot shav, that's still considered to be a shavuot shav. Why is that? Because in order to be a shavuot shav, three people have to know about it, and three people do know about it, even though one is in Siberia and two are here. Well, now that seems he's arguing. When Rabbi Yaakov Shem Yochanan said it has to be known by three people, that means three people who are present. According to Rabbi Hila, in name Rabbi Lazar, that third person need not be present. Is that clear? So it says, Umara, Man Afid Vino, what's the difference between the two positions? Very simple. Shinobo Bif Neshnaim, you lied about the nature of the object in front of two people. And there's one who saw the object. And then there's one guy at the end of the world, even though he's not mentioned, there's obviously a third guy somewhere in Siberia who knows the true nature of the object concerning which you just lied. Vishlich Layom. And you pour it in, you throw it into the sea. Visruba Mishum Shvua Shav. And they warned him before he took the oath that it's going to be a Shvua Shav. Al Daitid Rabbi Yochanan Ein Aloker. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a Shvua Shav. You don't get Malchus because only two people know about it. It's true there's a third person, but he's not present. In order to be a Shvua Shav, all three people have to be present. Al Daitid Rabbi Lezer Loker, according to Rabbi Lezer, do get Malchus. Why? Because he holds that already constitutes a Shvua Shav. Even if there's somebody at the end of the earth, that's enough. Okay? So, says the Gemara, and vice versa. He's Ruba Mishin Shvua Sheker. What if they warn him because of that he's going to transgress Shvua Sheker? Al Daitid Rabbi Yochanan Loker, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is Malchus. Why is there Malchus? Because it is a Shvua Sheker. Al Daitid Rabbi Lezer Ein Loker, because it's a Shvua Shav. Why is it Shvua Shav? Because there's a guy in Siberia who knows about it, which makes it three. Okay? Rabbi Bo... What's the matter, Donald?
I'm just like thinking about this figure in Marcos about like Dover Nisru Bar, the Mice of Comer is in a Shruff, or
yeah.
Mice of Cow.
But here it's not, here neither is Comer or Cow. Right. But
same
here it's neither, right. Neither one is Comer or Cow, obviously, right? Rav Bavishim Rav Yehuda said, "I feel a bale margalisa, even if you say an egg is a pearl, that's a shvur shav." I've seen. Says Gemara, "What do you mean even? Vehein afilu? When there's what is this word? Vehein afilu is considered to be afilu. What is the word afilu? This is the nature of shvur shav. Ella, rather, the way it's supposed to be read is kigon bale umargalisa." Such as this is a class case of Shvua Shav that you take an egg and say it's a pearl. Okay, I don't know why it's so classic, but I guess, you know, that would be a case of pearl, egg, they look a little bit similar, a bit off-white, that's considered to be a Shvua Shav. Okay? Getting back to our Mishnah, Tani, Kishem Shenidre Avoy Mutarim, just like oats which are Nidorim, which are exaggeration are permissible, so too oaths and are exaggerations are permissible. Says more about Tanya, we learn shvuos havaya suros. The shvuah and oath that's an exaggeration is prohibited. Rabbi Yerushalayim, Rabbi Dov said, it depends whether he's I don't know if the word is sustain or maintain. But he's vigorous in maintaining that the shvuah he took is true. So, which is actually a stupid thing to do. But if he is vigorous in maintaining the shvuah he took is true, then a shvuah savai is a shvuah and he gets punished for it.
Wait a minute. How can we say a nether that is an exaggeration is permitted? Didn't we have before where someone takes a nether and not going to sleep for 30 days and we give him miracles right away?
3 days.
Making it even more of an exaggeration.
Right.
So if a netter is an exaggeration, it's mutter, so...
Yeah, but that... over there, you're talking about a netter which he made, which he thinks he can accomplish. Here you're talking about a netter which is clearly beyond anybody, because we're talking about class cases of what you mentioned yesterday, where somebody says he takes a netter that he saw a square snake. Okay, there's no such thing. So therefore, that's clearly an exaggeration, which he's not attempting to accomplish. You know, okay. So says the Gemara. Again, kam mamidim, bekam shenam mamidim. Depends if he intends to be sincere about this, or doesn't intend to be sincere about this. Says Ma'arim Rabbi Ba. Now, that's obvious. There really is. Obviously, if he intends to exaggerate and is trying and is telling you that as if it's, you know, gospel truth, forgive the phrase, so then that's considered to be a, there's no doubt that that would be considered to be prohibited. And if he's telling it as a tall tale, so it's, it will be considered to be permitted. That really is partial. What we're bringing this down for is the next line. Rabbi Yehoshua b'shem Amrei ba afilu tema kanvakam b'mamidim. Even if in both cases he seems to sustain the truth and maintain it is true and not a tall tale. Take out the next four words because most of the Farshim take them out. It depends. Kan b'mechel shvua on the chosov, whether the shvua devolves on his property or not. Now, the next line, a couple lines are changed by the Rashba, and the carbonator brings it down. What do you mean? What we mean here is that really a shvuas havoy is forbidden to take. Now let's take a shvuas havoy. However, the question is what the word then mutarin might mean. It says mutarin, shvuas havoy is mutar. So it says the Mara, I'll tell you what it means. When the shvua pertains to your property, shvuas nechasai aolai, he took the shvua to refrain from his own property. Nechasot, in that case we say the property, and here the carbonate changes the word, mutarin is mutar. Halilkos, but to get malchus, and here the carbonate again changes, like it. He does that malchus. So it's an interesting dichotomy. When we say shvua, Shvuas Havai is mutter, it doesn't mean you don't get flogged. You do get flogged. What it means is that your property is mutter even after you took the Shvuah. Okay? So the Shvuah itself, it's either, I guess it's a Shvuah Shav, right? Because it's an unnecessary Shvuah. Not a Shvuah Sheker necessarily because it's a Guzma. But it's a Shvuah Shav. But Shvuos don't ask for your property, even if you phrased it that way. It still doesn't forbid your property on you. Okay, that's why I think it's talking about as opposed to a neder, where if the neder takes place, if you've made a neder havoy and it was legitimate in any way, shape, or form, then your property would be usher as well. Now I don't fully grasp this distinction, but obviously a shvuah. Let's see if we can play it out. A shvuah taken is of more severity than a neder. A shvuah will get you malchus even if the shvuah doesn't take effect. A neder which doesn't take effect doesn't give you malchus, and vice versa. If it can't give you malchus, it can't take effect either. What's the difference between the two cases? I'm not sure. But the difference is probably based on what we've been saying all along, Yeshiva Shalom, this 101, Shvua is on the Gavra and Neder is on the Cheftza, right? So therefore, Shvua has in fact two components, well, two possibilities, Shvua Sheker and Shvua Shav, right? By Neder, you don't have such Yisurim. There's no such thing as taking a false Neder. It doesn't exist, right? Because the Neder doesn't have to do with you and your statement's a fact, but rather the neder has to do with the object. So therefore, there's no concept of a neder shav or a neder sheker. Shav and sheker pertain to statements. Statements you make by definition can only be taken in the context of shvuah. A neder either works to ask the object or not, but has nothing to do with the truth of your statement or the untruth of your statement. So therefore here when we say nidre havai mutorin, it means if I made the prohibition on the object linked to a neder, so the whole thing falls, right? If the neder doesn't stand because I exaggerated, so then obviously the property is permitted. But besides that, there was no neder. By shvua, I can disassociate. By shvua, I can say that even though the property remains mutter, which in fact is what it says here, since there's a concept of lying in a shvua, which is independently usher, I'll get malchus either because of shvua shav or shvua sheker. Right? Do what I just say make sense? Okay. So I'm not sure if that's the case because Yerushalmi doesn't tell us. Yerushalmi just tells us this concept that by neder avoy you're off the hook and property's not osur. By shvua savoy you're getting malchus, but your property still remains mutter. So that's what I'm trying to explain. Okay, says the Gemara, Kashem should, that's it for that thing. Kashem should need to resign. I sat this morning looking at those lines for like half an hour, trying to figure out what exactly they meant, even after the Rashba changes the gear sign. Kashem should need to resign mutarim. By the way, the Rambam argues, I should point that out. The Rambam seems left the gear sign intact. The Rambam has an interesting take on this. The Rambam says that a guzma, it depends what kind of guzma you have. The Rambam holds that if you have a guzma, an exaggeration, which is impossible, then you don't get malchus, because everybody knows you're exaggerating. But if you have exaggeration which is possible, then you do get malchus, right? Because then it's a lie. In other words, the shvuas sheker. If you're going to lie, big lies, right? The big lie works. Because if it's a big lie, everybody knows it's an exaggeration. Therefore, you're not going to get malchus. If it's a little lie, okay, you get the idea. Okay?
Actually, that's really what more like the ridiculous section here. The different distinction between 2 and 3, I think the distinction between those are 2 is, it's not really established that it's incorrect. 3, already you have a number, it's established that it's...
Yeah, but there you did get malchus. And Shua Shav, you did get malchus. The Ram says if it's a big enough lie, that it's a guzma, I guess we would call it guzma nikeres. I don't remember the exact question Ram used. Then he wouldn't get any malchus whatsoever. Okay? Says more further. Kishem shenidre ziruzin mutarim. Just like I could take a nether in order to encourage you, right? That I say, if you don't come by tomorrow to eat some lunch with me, all my property is forbidden on you, right? Kav shvua zeruzin mutar mutar, so to a shvua of that nature be mutar as well. Says Mora, od hi b'mechel shvua nechosav. This is also going on a case where a person that has a shvua devolve on his property. It doesn't mean, again, what the Gemara is trying to say is that this is a shvua. It's not a nether. And therefore, malchus you're going to get regardless. Because by nether, if the nether is, you know, doesn't devolve, so it's not a nether. You don't get malchus. But by shvua, because there's a concept of shvua shav, or shvua sheker, because there's a concept of superfluous or false oaths in and of themselves generating malchus. So here too, we're talking about again, odi mutosh mechel shvua on the chosav. You put shvua on your property. Shvuas nechosai olai, a shvua that your property is forbidden upon you. Nechosav mutarin, the property remains mutar, holy okos. But the malchus, again, lokeh. You do get malchus. And again, that's the tikkun of the Rashba. The malchus you're going to get because of the nature of Shvua Shem and Shvua Sheker. Actually, saying this over to you right now, I understand it much better than I did this morning. It makes sense. Shvua is a different category than Nether. Shvua, even if you would have an out by Nether, the nature of Shvua Sheker and Shvua Shem eliminates that out of malchus when you talk about Shvua. That's the way it is. Okay?
So at the same time, if you make a shvua, that is possible.
Yeah.
You're over on the shvua, so it can be over on that shvua again, or would we say...
Yeah, we're going to get to. I was going to discuss that. The short answer is no. We had previously, I don't know if you heard that night, ain't shvua chala shvua.
No, I'm saying, like, not besides that, you take a shvua that, what's it called, I'm not going to use something for 3 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then... A day later, he uses it.
Mm-hmm.
So if he uses it again in second, 2 days later, does he get malchus again?
Yeah.
Why? I would say now, let's say that his shvua was a shvua shaker, and he got his malchus, and the shvua is off.
Depends if there was a time limit on the shvua. The shvua could still exist afterwards. Okay, I don't know if we're going to have that tonight. I don't remember. I think not. Says Mora. Chizki Omar. Chizki said, "Aun the Mishnayin the Mishtabal dinun train." If somebody takes an oath that two are two, or that they're two. If I took an oath and said, I take an oath that there are two tables in the room. Actually, three, but theoretically, if there were two tables in the room and everybody could see that there are two, right? I'm not counting yours. Two square. There are two round tables, right? If I took an oath that there are two round tables in the room, and there are two, that's Shvuah Shav, right? The Lokim Mishum Shvuah Shav, it's a superfluous Shvuah. This is yet another version of Shvuah Shav. That Shvuah Shav is a truly unnecessary Shvuah, which about something everybody knows. Rabbi Chagai said, B'shem Rabbi Shimon Lokish, Hain Dechama Mitra Nochis. Somebody sees rain falling. Umar, and he says, now everybody goes crazy trying to figure out what the next three words might mean. And the Ben Arya on the bottom brings down from the Oroch that actually the Girsa should be Umar, he said, instead of Bali Kukri Berikshon, it should be Umar Kire, and he said, Kire Pule Berikshon. Kire is the language of God in Greek. I don't know actually what God in Greek is, but he says Kire is the language of God. Pule Berichson means there's much rain. So he took an oath that it was raining, cats and dogs. He took an oath and he said, by gosh, it's raining a lot. It's a Shvuah Shav, right? Because everybody knows it's raining a lot. So therefore, it's a superfluous Shvuah. Okay?
That's no different than saying that there are two square tables.
Mm-hmm. It's a continuation. So that's all. And then another example. That's correct. Okay? Like a Mishnah Shvuah Shav. Rabbi Yah, Chunya Bar, and Rabbi Yah, so a person, you know, who says all the time, I swear to God, or something like that, such Shvuah Shav, right? He should be flawed every time. So Rabbi Chunya and Rabbi Yaakov Barav Mishir Mishmuel Barnachmatzet Esrim Varba Bolios Hayibuda. There were 24 governments in Yehuda or 24 regions. V'kulan Charvu, and they were all destroyed. Mishum Shvuah Shav, because of Shvuah Shav Shehi Shalemes, even though it was true. D'chsiv, as it says, Lashav he case Nechem. Now simple pshat in that pasuk is for naught I smote your children. But the word actually means for shvuos of naught, I smote your children, right? Because they were unnecessary shvuos. Talmatir, we learned over there.
What were the shvuos?
Doesn't say. And the name type which you just said, it's raining. I swear it's raining. Talmatir, you learned over there. Shvuos shlochal kikarzu. This is a Mishnah and shvuos. It says that this is the case which a little bit like Donald was referring to before. You have a shvuah, you took a shvuah that you're not going to eat a, it's only the first four words of the Mishnah brought down, but the Mishnah goes on to say, a person took a shvuah not to eat a piece of bread, repeated the shvuah, right, and repeated it again, and he ate it. He's only chayav one prohibition, right? And there the Gemara, the language of the Gemara of the Mishnah is, Zoi shvuas bitui. This is a shvuah of expression. Shechayovin al zedoyna Marcus, you chayvi do it intentionally, Marcus, and shigagos a carbon oil of a yorate. If you do it unintentionally, chayv a carbon oil of a yorate. So the Gemara's question, according to the Gilin of Ephraim here and others, is what does it mean, Zoe? This is a shvuah bitui. So the Gemara is asking a question. It sounds like only by shvuas are you exempt for Are you exempt on the second and third time you eat from the loaf? Not by Nadorim. But we know that it's not true. Dover She'ilu bin Dorim also Rishvuos Mutter? Are you going to say that in Dorim you in fact get three prohibitions and in Shvuos you only get one? Now this requires some background. We had a couple of blad ago where he said, Ein Shvuah B'soch Shvuah, V'yesh Neder B'soch Neder. That if you say Shvuah, Shavuah, Shavuah, three Shavuos in a row, that only one Shavuah at a time takes place. If you're Mata the last Shavuah, then the first two, then the one before that can take its place. But each, at any given time, you only transgress one Shavuah. So it's not exactly your question. Your question was where I made one Shavuah, but transgressed it multiple times. Here, it's where I made multiple Shavuahs, right? And I transgressed. So in Lemaisa, before we said that by neder, you can transgress multiple times. So the Ran in the Dorim in the Bavli says that this is often the Gilan Ephraim, I saw this. The Ran in the Bavli says that that's only true about Nazirus. The case given the Mishnah before is Nazirus. And Nazirus, which are terms, you can accept upon yourself multiple terms. Even if you're already in Nazirus, you can accept upon yourself a prospective term. But the Morris question here is that in terms of non-Nazir Nadarim, such as the Neder over here, of what the Neder would be over here, a Neder to refrain from eating bread or something like that. So there, the Paralochus of Shavuos and Nadarim should be exactly the same. If Shavuos is only the first one in the series takes effect, not the later ones, so too by Nadarim as well. So why say Zoe Shavuos be doing? Right? That's Mark's question. Darbashil bin Dorim also Rishvus Mutter is also by Nadarim. So says Amara, I'm just going to read that so badly. Lo Adar Marta Ella Al Hadar. When it says Zoe Shvus Bitu, it's not going on this issue of how many prohibitions you transgress, because that's also true about Nadarim. Well, it's going on another mission in Nadarim, in Shvus there. It says there in Shavuos, Echad Varm Shel Atzman, Vechad Varm Shel Acherim. Shavua Sheker, or Shavua Shav pertains both to your stuff and to other people's stuff. Neder only pertains to your stuff. You can make a neder on somebody else's stuff, right? You can make a neder that you'll refrain from somebody else's stuff. But you can't make a neder on that person's stuff, right? So therefore, Shavua pertains, if you lie about somebody else's stuff, or say Shavua Shav about somebody else's stuff, that's equal and equivalent to you making a Shavua Shav or Sheker about your own stuff. But here we're talking about where you made a Shavua Shav or a Neder against somebody else, that's meaningless. A Neder can only work upon myself, not corresponding to anybody else. Okay, I can't say plain stuff should be nether on him, right, or something like that sort, and therefore there's no nether sheker or nether shov in that respect. Okay, that's the period. Now we have a new. So that's zoi shvus bitu, zoi shvus by shvua, not by nedarim. Okay, now amrai ba b'shem rei shmuel, rebasa name shmuel, shvua shenosam ploini leploini mona. If I take a shvua that Reuven gave Shimon $100, v'nimtza shelo nasa, and comes out that he never gave him $100, me'achar she'ein biyado labo, since I can't take a shvua in the future, I can't take a shvua. I swear that Reuven will give Shimon $100. I can't take an oath like that, right? It's beyond my power to do so, right? So therefore, ain biyado l'shaavar. Therefore, even if I take it on the past, it's not a valid shvuah, which is kind of like a contradiction to what we just said, because we just said a shvuah is also on others, but here you want to say shvuah is only on yourself, not upon others. So it's about something which is in your hands, not something which is not in your hands. That's what he wants to say. Ashkachtani, so we found a braisa, which says, al tarteon, on both these cases, zechomer. Now here, you have to change the gears very radically. The Pnei Moshe does this, because the gears in Shavuos is completely different. So instead, the gears says in front of us here, the gears in Shavuos is like the Pnei Moshe brings down in the last wide line, the fifth line down. Al tarteon, we find on both of them, that there's a severity in the past and in the future. Shomer lo ochal, somebody says, I'm not going to eat, lo ochal, I'm not going to eat, ein ochayev elo achas, he's only chayev one. Lo achalti, if he says, I didn't eat, and I says again, I didn't eat, so chayev akol achas v'achas, he's liable on each and every one. So, if that's the case, it seems that, I'm not sure exactly how it addresses Rabbi Bo's statement, But somehow this is meant to tell us, A, that you're mechuyev on the past, right, by Shavuos, as opposed to by Nedarim. There's no such thing as being mechuyev on the past. And it seems, although I'm not 100% sure that this follows, that he's also coming to dispute Rabbi Bar Bar Shmuel. Right, Bar Bar Shmuel said that that's not true, where I testify against somebody else, and I took take a Shavuos that Reuven gave Shimon. There, I can't be chayev Shavuos Shavar Sheker, because it's not biyodi, it's not in my hands. Here it seems that anything in the past, I'm going to transgress. Okay, and each and every one. Why? Because that's a classic Shavuos Shavar Sheker, independent of whether it pertains to the future or not. Okay, even if it pertains to another person. Okay, that's a bit choppy. I really don't know. It's hard to say, to tell if this Ashkach Tani, Kohen Pitei Moshe is a train of Girsa, is going back to Rabbi Bar Bar Shmuel, who's talking about other people, or it's going back really on the difference between Shavuos and Nedarim and saying that one pertains to the past and the other doesn't pertain to the past.
Why is there a Havamina that it wouldn't pertain to the past, though? You're claiming you were a witness.
Because by Nedarim there's no such thing.
Yeah, but this is a, you're making a Shavuos that an event occurred. That you were a witness to this event that Reuven gave Shimon $100. So why can't you make a Shavuos about it?
Because the logic would be a Shavuos is on my Gavra. What does that have to do with my Gavra? If you said, you know what you'd say? If you said Shavuos that I saw, that would work. Because then it's a Shavuos that I saw take place.
Right.
But here it's a Shavuos that Reuven gave Shimon. It just as an event. So that would be different. Okay, that's where I think that's Rabbi Bo saying, name of Shmuel. Okay? Says more further. Hashem and Lakish Boy, call me Rabbi Bo. Hashem and Lakish. I really shouldn't say this, but there's a massive difference between Soita and the Dorim and the Ushami. The Soita was going, Suh? The Dorim, this is tough again. Hashem and Lakish Boy, call me Rabbi Bo. Hashem and Lakish asked in front of Rabbi Bo. Now here the Kishari Teresel changes the gears slightly. He says, Hashem and Lakish Boy, call me Rabbi Yochanan, Ma Bo Rabbi Akiva, Lohosiv Aldivir Beisilo. Okay, so the Ba is not a name, but rather means like the verb come. Well, what did Rabbi Akiva come to add on Beis Hillel? Now, where's Rabbi Akiva? Beis Hillel said, excuse me, in our Mishnah, Neder Shuhutar Miksasa Hutar Kulo. If part of the Neder is no good, the entire Neder is no good. I was talking about a case over here where you saw that the people who were taking figs off your tree, you thought that they were robbers, and turned out that your father, your mother, plus some robbers. So then, since your Shavuos is batel against your father, so it's batel against the robbers as well. That's what Rabbi Sol said. Now Rabbi Akiva said something similar. Rabbi Akiva says later on in the Masechta, Kai Ditznia Tamal, like we learned over there, Achaba Rabbi Akiva, the limeid Rabbi Akiva came and taught that Neder, Shehuta Mutsasa Mututa Kulo. A Neder, which is partially Mutter, is completely Mutter. It's talking about a case where a person made a Neder concerning all the days of the week, including Shabbos and Yontif. And somehow the Neder vis-a-vis Shabbos and Yontif became Mutter, so therefore the rest of it becomes Mutter as well. So he said, I'll tell you, it's a very, very big difference. Ma'im Tamon, I think this word Ma'a is superfluous. This is like the one the Shari Torah Israel took from here and put three lines ago. Ma'im Tamon, Nodar, Neder, if you're over there where it's a Neder, Rabbi Akiva is coming and saying a Neder which requires HaTorah. It wasn't based on a mistaken premise. It was based on a premise which ultimately a person wanted to be matir, but it wasn't a mistake. So Neder which requires Chakiras Chacham, Adoimer, you say Neder Shabbatah Mitzoso, a Neder which is partially cancelled, Bato Kulo, it's completely cancelled. Khan here, she'ena tzorech hakiras chacham, here where it does not require she'ena chacham, because everybody knows, it's like pitzcho betido, obviously, you wouldn't want to answer, would not have wanted to answer your fig tree on your parent. Lo kosh can certainly say, neder shuta mitzasa ba'huta kulo. So what the Gemara is really doing is saying is backwards. Rabbi Akiva said about that case, neder shuta mitzos on nehuta kulo. Certainly he would say in our case, yes, that's true. But what we really wanted to see here is that Rabbi Akiva is adding on to our case. Because in our case, Beis Hillel is being matir, apart, since the neder is partially batel, the entire neder is batel. Why is that? Because of this neder being one which doesn't even require chakira analysis by the Chacham. It's so obvious that the neder was not supposed to be, or the shvua was not supposed to take effect. However, there, it's not obvious. It requires a Pesach in order to undermine the application of the neder, whatever it was, to Shabbos and Yontif. So there, therefore, it's a chiddush, more of a chiddush there to say that neder shel hutar mitzas or hutar kulo. Okay? Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Yehuda takes it a different version. He says, mishum neder tos. It's not the same thing at all. Our case is not neder shel mutar mitzas or hutar kulo with an automatic enter. Our case is neder by mistake, because he didn't realize it was his father gathering the figs there on the tree. I realize I would never have taken the nether. That's a mistake. If it's a mistake, then that's completely different. Of course, by mistake, we would say nether shuta mitzos or hutar kulo. And the Gemara's chiddush is that even where it's not a mistake, but later on you come with a Pesach, you also say nether shuta mitzos or hutar kulo. Okay? Next case. Locha b'gimel. Nidre onzi. You have a neder which is taken because the person was compelled to do so. What's that? A neder which was broken because the person felt compelled to do so. What's the case? Hedil chaveru sheyochal etzlo. Your friend took an oath that if you don't come eat by him lunch tomorrow, all of his property will be osur on you. Okay? Cholahu oshchobeno, and then you couldn't make it because you got sick or your son got sick. Oshikvanor, the river impeded you. Harel nidre onsim, this is a nether onsim, where it's beyond your capacity to do anything about it because you tried and failed. So therefore, there's no problem. Nether, the nether falls off. Says the Gemara, bivnei chola. It sounds like the only reason why the nether falls off because there was a compelling reason because it got sick. I'm lo chola, but if you didn't get sick, tough. Why? The Gemara doesn't state the rationale for its question, but it's quite obvious. Gemara's question is, it's Nidre's reason. We said the Dorim given as incentives are not valid in the Dorim. This is also an incentive. The host is trying to provide an incentive for the guy to come eat lunch by him, right? So that's the case. There shouldn't be a problem here at all. Even if he didn't get sick. If for whatever reason he's going to show up. It's not a valid nether. So it says, Rabbi Meir holds that Nidre's reason are bound the door. So Rabbi Meir said later on in the Masechta, he says, also actually, it's forbidden until you give. Now this is a case like this. This is a case where you say to your friend, you're not allowed to derive any benefit from me unless you come and give to my kid a measure of grain. So the mayor says not to derive benefit until he gives the grain. Chama states Nitre's reason, even if he hasn't given the grain, it's only an incentive, to try and generate diligence. But it's not a true neder, it's not a sincere neder. So we see Rabbi Meir does not hold the Nitre's reason, right? Those that even Nitre's reason are considered to be binding. So that's what it says here. The Amar Rabbi Meir, the Amar Amar Osar Chita is forbidden until he gives them the grain or whatever the stipulation was. Amar Rabbi Yosef said, not true. V'lomaleis anan pachin lei diverko. Why don't we say our mission is going according to everybody? How so? Kai demar Rabbi Zero, like Rabbi Zero said, bestam chalukim. The Rabbi Zero said later on in the Masechta, again, that's much later where this appears, that the machlokas is bestam. The machlokas rabbanon and Rabbi Meir is by a generic case. What do you mean generic case? Monokim, what are you talking about? Im bezel meri nekvodi Each guy says, it's because of my honor I took the oath, or I'm refusing to abide by the oath.
I could have sworn that Debovely said something the opposite.
Don't swear.
What?
Don't swear.
Is it Sheker or Shaker?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Debovely says,
something opposite to the previous Gemara we've been doing.
Which previous Gemara? Before the Mishnah or after the Mishnah?
Before the Mishnah. That if you take like a shvua not to do something that Shabbos, right?
Yeah.
If you take a shvua not to do something that
entire week,
so it's not chal because it includes Shabbos. And I believe that there's a Mishnah in the Makos that says the opposite. Since it's chal during the week, it's chal also on Shabbos.
Yeah, but no, Seva, when he comes to Yimater Neda, we make him a Pesach, because he would never have intended to take it on Shabbos. Uh-huh. It's not talking about where there's a problem in the Chalos, but rather where he wants to remove the Neda later on. Okay, so it's not the same thing. But I thought you were talking about this Gemara. This Gemara is talking against the Bavli. Okay, this Gemara over here is against the Bavli. But I'm going to try and scoop it into the Bavli later on in a couple of minutes. So, it's an interesting thing here. Monica even said, the same which the Yerushalmi poses, the Bav does not. Yerushalmi says, if we're talking about a case, well, it's a logical dichotomy, the Bav just doesn't get into it. In Bezel Memnikoi, listen, we're talking about a case where Reuven says, Shimon, unless you give my kid a measure of grain, don't you're also in all my property, right? So we have to ask them afterwards what they meant. If this guy says, it's for my covet, he means it. And the other guy says, it's for my covet, right? Or it's, I didn't give it because of my covet, right? Or the reverse netter, right? That he says, I'm only going to come eat by you if I can give your kid 100 zukor, right? Because I want to reciprocate in some way, shape, or form. Which is more altruistic netter, perhaps, was the same idea. So if each guy says, no, I really meant what I said. So then Divrei also, that's not zruzin. Then that's everybody who should hold Zoster, both Remeir and Rabbana. If this guy says, I made the stipulation because of my covet, and the other guy says, I agreed to the stipulation because of your covet, so then, everybody hold that that's Nidrei Zeruzin, right? Because whoever made the nether was making it because of the cover of the other guy. The other guy knew it was because of his cover. Okay, so I oversimplifying. The idea is that if they contradict each other, then it's not Nidrei Zeruzin. If they're both on the same page and they're just going like through the motions, so then it's Nidrei Zeruzin. What's the machlokas? The machlokas between Rav and Ravon is bestam what the intent was. When nobody said, I'm doing it for XYZ's covet, or we don't know it's doing it for XYZ's covet. So a man says, your default assumption is that they're not Nidrei Zeruzin. And Rabbanan says, the default assumption is they are Nidrei Zeruzin. That either, you know, he wanted, when the nether was, or the shvur was, that I won't eat by you unless you give my kid 100 zuz, is because I want to have some relationship with you and I have something to gain, and therefore I want to provide an incentive, or I say, I'm not going to eat with you unless I can give your kid 100 zuz. So then the reason why he's doing it is because he doesn't want to be beholden to the other guy. Those all could be Nidrei Zeruzin, right? Even when I'm mayor. So now our mission is difficult again. Because our mission has said that there's a nether which is not Nidrei Zeruzin, where you need to have an onus in order not for the nether not to apply. But this is a classic case that should be considered to be Nidrei Zeruzin. Because it's a case where the person who's inviting the other guy said, if you don't come to my house, you're going to be also in Anna. So why is this not Nidrei Zeruzin? Before we wanted to say, Rameir doesn't hold him Nidrei Zeruzin. But then we said, no, Rameir also holds him Nidrei Zeruzin. The only question is, what turn of a phrase and what scenario makes it Nidrei Zeruzin? But everybody holds that there's a concept of Nidrei Zeruzin. So therefore, who's our Mishnah who says that a case where what seems to be Nidrei Zeruzin, you still need an onus to get out of the repercussions of the nether? Rabbi Hila said, "Kein urcha de bar nasha." Now, nobody understands this line as far as I'm concerned. Except, of course, me. Because the Bavli says interesting thing. And nobody seems to bring this Bavli explained to Yerushalmi, perhaps justifiably, but I would do it myself. The Bavli says, you know what, you're making a mistake. There's almost a rebellion quote from the Bavli. You were thinking that our Mishnah is where the inviter takes the oath negative the invitee. And that's Nidre Zuzin, because if you don't come to lunch tomorrow, all my property is off. But it's possible, says the Bavli, that our Mishnah is talking about where the invitee takes the oath against the inviter. And he says to him, if you're serious about what you're saying, right, then prove that your invitation, you know, you say, let's do lunch sometime, right? So the person who's invited said, you really mean lunch? Well, in that case, take a nether, which will be involved, if you don't have me for lunch. You see what's going on? So that's not Nidre Zruzin. He's very serious about that. If the guy who's inviting takes a nether, that might be Nidre Zruzin. But if the guy who's invited either takes a nether or coerces a nether out of the inviter, so that's not Nidre Zruzin. And that's what it says, Amrei Elokein Urcha Debar Nosher Memel Chavrei. This is what a person says to his friend, Kursasi Baya. You want my couch? Meaning you want me to come eat lunch by you? Because I used to eat on couches. Then you take a nether. So that's not Nidre Zruzin. So the only way out of that nether is if you intended to, in fact, fulfill the terms of the nether, but somebody got sick in the family, and therefore the nether could not have been carried out. Okay? So the reason why it's not Nidre Zruzin is because the muzman, the person who's invited, forces the nether. Okay? Now, says Marfa, Halachda, Nojim la'rogim u'l'charamim. A person can take a nether to murderers, and to charamim are thieves, u'l'mochsim at the tax collectors, shehi, the true truma, that's something is truma, because they won't collect truma, api shena truma, you can lie to them. Shein shobes melch, or that belongs to the king, api shena shena shalem, even though it doesn't belong to them. Beisham ermim, Beisham says, bakol nodrim, you can take a nether, which is a falsehood, but not b'chutz mishvua, but not a shvua. More machin by shvua, I guess, again, because the shvua, shvua, and shvua, sirakar concept. With some of them, Abishua also by Shua, it's the same thing. Beishamai Omen. Beishamai says, Lo Yiftach Lo Beneder, you can't initiate the discussion with him. He's got to ask you to take a neder, and then you can file suit, even though it's a lie. But you can't propose a neder to begin with. With some of them, Abishua Yiftach Lo, you can jump to the gun and propose to him a neder. Beishamai Omen. Beishamai Omen. Beishamai says, Bamesh Umadiro. It's whatever the case is concerns, not more than that. Also something which the case is not concerned, right? Where the guy or is not coercing an oath on that matter. Ketzad, how so? Amalo, they said to him, Emor konam, the Ganavim said, send recite an oath or a nether. Isha nanesli. If I'm hiding any property, then my wife should be forbidden to derive benefit from me. Vama, and the guy, he's obviously quaking in his boots, he says, Ishti uvanai manningly. I'm not even willing to go beyond that and take a shua that my children should be barred from deriving an offer from me. So Beishama says, Ishti muteres. The wife, which is what they demanded for him, that part of the shua falls off. But the part about his kids, asurin, that they are forbidden. They're both mutar, even though he added on to what was being demanded of him, since it was done under, you know, duress, so therefore it's not a valid form of neder shvua. Okay? La'aragim, when it says la'aragim, it's bargo, when they came to kill, not when they're walking down the street, you know, dressed in three-piece suits. U'l'charamim, b'shas cherem, it's when they come to steal. Tan Revita and Pazi Yisheri Yochum says a very logical thing. If there's danger involved, then of course it's permissible. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chilam Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, If it's not a time sakana, meaning he's coming to you and saying, "Hi, Reb Yid, how are you doing?" And you know he's a murderer, but he wants to make a nice, you know, presentation to you by prospectus only. So then, in that case, you're not allowed to lie to him. If you do lie to him, then you're going to suffer the consequences of the lie, whatever the lie of the shvuah is. So it has to be dafka under imminent pressure. Okay, Tani. We learned fascinating Gemara. I don't think it's a Tosefta. I don't think it's in the Bavli. Tolim begoyim. You could say, "Oh, that property over there, it belongs to John the Goy, even though it's actually yours, because you don't want the governor to take it or tax it, right?" You can do that. Tolim begoyim, over Ma'aretz, say belongs to the Goy or to another kingdom. Avo lo bisa, we can't say it belongs to, you know, a Jewish tough guy, a Jewish mobster. You can't say it belongs to Meyer Lansky. Why is that? Shebali Zro Mitzuyim Lipo, because an unfortunate statement, Bali Zroa, the masterful people, they eventually fall. Cycle turns upon them as well. Well, if he falls, this guy who's about Zroa Yisrael, so they're going to come after his fields then. So, and you just attributed this field to him, he's going to have to pay more taxes, right, or lose more stuff, right? The lo yipo, we don't want him to fall on his property. The agave lake on Mason, they're going to roll out whatever he has and claim that that it came from it's his. This came and start collecting taxes based on that. And actually, it belongs to the Yisrael who just used his name as a foil. So therefore, you can't use names of Jews as foil. Okay? Avra uposach. What if a guy, Rav Shammai said, if a guy is responding, he can only respond based on what he's asked to take a net, and not more than that. Whatever he takes more than that does become also. What if he jumped to the guard? The guy didn't ask him any question yet, but he, out of pachat, out of fear, jumped the gun and said, "I'll take a netter about my wife and my kids, anything you want," right? So, I'll be Shammai, what's the story going to be Shammai? So Shmina Mina Dotsana from here, this is kind of a roundabout deal. It says, Beishamah, and Shammai says, Ishna Mutera Subana Vasurim. His wife is permitted, and his kids are also, where he took a netter beyond what he was asked. Now, this is the Gemara's bone of contention, that's a superfluous part of the Mishnah. It's obvious that Bishambis would argue about that case, right? Hadar Mara. So why is this case brought down on Mishnah? It must contest over a pasach of the Bishambis, that Dafka in this case are his kids also, even though his wife is Mutter. But if you initiate the contact yourself, and you overreached, not in response, but in your initial promise, holds it's okay. Havambor Meiman, top of Yudavam Rav. They want to say, Bindori, that all, this is the quote from the Mishnah, right, that you can only lie to them by a neder, but lo b'shvuas lo, but not by a shvua. Ashkech Tani Rabbi Shmuel Eloimer, they found and said, not true. Rabbi Shmuel says, lo tishavu b'shmuel l'sheker, do not take a shvua in my name l'sheker. What does it mean in my name? For something which has to do with, you know, court proceedings and such like, emes among Jews. But when it's talking about the antithesis of my name, the murderers and bandits, so nishba, even a shvua, you can take la'ragin l'charomim for murderers and bandits and mostly tax collectors in order to get out of the taxes. Okay? Haloche, harei netius ha'elu korban. You say, these saplings, this is kind of shifting gears a little bit, you say, these saplings should be a carpet. In other words, what you examine is, you see a tidal wave coming, or a great wind, or a fire sweeping down, you say, and you want to be machish your trees really in order to, Hashem will make a nation and save them, right? So, rain a tiasel carbon, imen on nixosos, you say, if they don't get swept away by the wind, they'll be a carpet. The talus of carbon, this carbon should be a carbon, the talus should be a carbon, it may only serve as if it's not burnt. Yesh lohem pidyon. So they can be redeemed. What he meant is to give their value to Hekdish, not to give them themselves to Hekdish. But what if there was no imminent danger? He just said, harei elin netil sa'elu carbon. These saplings are considered to be kodesh bedek abayis, actually cut the two until I cut them down. Until I cut them down. The Tarazu carbon, and the Tarazu carbon actually is a rape until it's burnt down and burnt by human hands. Alan Pidon, even if you redeem the wood or redeem the Taos, it's still Kaddish. Because there, you didn't intend just to give the value to this, you intended to be Makdish this, right? And therefore, even you redeem it, so it still goes to Hekdish again. It's an amazing concept, right? Because you said, since you said that they're kept the carbon Achi Katsutsu, as many times as you redeem it before they're caught, they're still Hekdish, because you say it in a way which Hekdish comes back and returns and returns and returns again. Okay? Again, our mission story about case we saw the wood choppers of the king coming. You saw a fire coming. Rami said, korban. If they don't cut down the trees, that to be a korban. If the house not burned, it should be a korban. It should be according to the Shaitos Sovenit Solu. And they're saved. But my friend Kotcher, now the Kodesh retroactively from the time of my neder, Omikanlava, the Kodesh from the time that they are saved. Manavi Peneo, what's the difference? Nenaman, if you had anah between the time you made the neder and the time that they are safely passed over. Intame, my friend Kodesh Kotcher, if you're going to say they're Kodesh from the time you make your neder, more, then there's Me'ilah, right? Because you had anah from Hekdesh. In Tema Kanalahabo, if you're going to say it only devolves from here on in, so then, lo mal, there's no meal involved. Chizki Amar, because obviously, at the time you drive the Noah, before you knew that they would be saved, then they weren't yet Kodosh. And the more it doesn't resolve it, or it just leaves it dangling. Chizki Amar, Chizki says, Pidoyan, Chazlik Dusha Asan. If you redeemed the wood in the sefer, right? You said it's carbon until you redeem until they cut. What happens if you redeemed it? Goes back to the Hekdesh again because it's not cut down yet, right? Rabbi Yochanan Mar Pidyon Pidyon. Rabbi Yochanan said no, it's a valid pidyon. Said, well, what are you talking about? It's a valid pidyon. Masisa pligo Rabbi Yochanan. Our Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan says ain't let pidyon. They're not redeemed. So pasalah. So he explained the Mishnah is different. He says that not that Einlan Pidyon. Of course they can be redeemed as long as they're standing. Unlike we understood the Mishnah. What does it mean Einlan Pidyon? Shekatsutsu Einlan Pidyon, when they're cut down, they don't need a Pidyon anymore. While they're standing, they need a Pidyon in order to take off Kedusha. Once they're chopped down, says Rabbi Yochanan, this is this teaching in the Mishnah. When we learned the Mishnah, we learned it like Chizkiah, that as long as they're standing, you can redeem them, but the Kedusha comes back. You redeem, but the Kedusha comes back. According to Rabbi Yochanan, no, once you redeem them, they're redeemed. What it means that what you meant to say is not that they should constantly get their Kedusha back until they're chopped down. But if they're ever chopped down, then the Kedusha would fall off even without Pidyon. The Pidyon should not be necessary at that point. Okay? So that's a completely different perspective, right? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef said, Ma'adam Rechizkiah, another interpretation. Ma'adam Rechizkiah, B'shir Pedoyan He'u. The Avich Chizkiah said, the Kedusha comes back is when you redeem it. Because as far as you yourself are concerned, you denied yourself the possibility of redeeming until they are chopped out. Avalim Pedoyan Acher. But what if somebody else was pointed at them? Because their Hekdesh better go by, somebody else could be pointed at them. Then Pelka Man Kedusha Asan. He's not restricted by this business of being required, so to speak, to be Makdish again until they're tracked down. The moment he redeems it, they're considered to be redeemed. There's a contradiction. Mechavah Shitasi Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi seems to contradict himself. Tamon, by us, Huayme says, Pedoyan Acher, Pelka Man Kedusha Asan. If somebody else redeems them, then the Kedushin falls off. Vika, here, meaning there, in Kedushin, Rami says, Nisis la'acher, lo'pokim mena Kedushin. If she marries somebody else, the Kedushin doesn't fall off. Now, this is a a weird, a cockamamie case. And really, I should leave it for Monday, but we just have one line left, so I'll cheat. He says, the case like this, you marry a woman out tonight, and you say, let my marriage take place when you get divorced from another guy. Thing is, she's not married to the other guy yet. Then she goes and marries the second guy. Then the second guy divorces her. Does your first marriage now take effect? So it's Machlokas Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, yes, it does.
Your marriage lies dormant as long as she's married to the other guy. Once she gets divorced from the other guy, your marriage takes place. So here too, even if somebody else redeemed it, the tree, somebody else redeemed it, but vis-a-vis you, you should have like a Midas touch. But it comes back into your hands in some way, shape, or form, and you become Kaddish again. So they go over there, the marriage comes back to haunt after the intermarriage falls off. So to hear, okay, so the other guy redeemed it. But now, if it comes back to you, so it should become Kaddish again in your possession, right? And sounds of Chizkiah, once the other guy redeemed it, the spell is broken. So says the Gemara, Lo Tzurcha, you know what, you're right. The truth is that in that case, Taka, the Kiddushin falls off. If I'm a Kaddish woman, and then that it should take effect after a Gerushin to somebody else, from somebody else, and then the other guy comes and marries her and divorces her, my Kiddushin is null and void. It's water under the bridge. The second Kiddushin disrupted that. And here too, the B'doya idea of the Macher disrupts. His Shiloh was a different Shiloh. He had another Kakamemi Shiloh. Don't confuse Kakamemi Shiloh with Kakamemi Shiloh. His Shiloh is he gives a woman two prutos himself. He says, this is your marriage now, and I'm going to divorce you in a week, and that should be your second marriage afterwards. So he wants to marry himself this woman twice in succession. He must get thrills from going to Las Vegas and going to the chapels. But the bottom line is, so that was as clear. Of course, if an Acher came in the middle, that would cut the tree. Like over here, if an Acher came in the middle and redeemed the trees, that would cut the chain, and then the Hekdesh would fall off. Even though if he himself redeemed it, the Hekdesh would constantly come back again until the trees get chopped down. But if somebody else comes in the middle and redeems it, so even if he then gets possession again, it no longer gets Kedusha. Somebody else cuts the chain. But there we're talking about a case where he himself wanted to make a chain of Kiddushin. He wanted to marry her, divorce her, and the second Pruta should work with Mikan Alaba. That was Rabbi Yossi's question. And that's tantamount to us over here, where he's Mekadosh the trees, redeems it, and the Kiddushin comes back. Redeems it, and the Kiddushin comes back. So that's the Shiloh. And that Shiloh, Taka, is room to say, just like over here, the Kiddushin keeps on coming back, even after being redeemed. So to over there, the Kiddushin keeps on coming back over and over again, the new Prutos, even after a Gerushin takes place. We'll stop. There's one night the week after next we're not going to learn.